Okay, let's get things started.
It's the Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
Everything's going fine. I just gotta relax and go with the flow.
And Sherry.
She's your standard billionaire playgirl by day and a fearless vigilante by night.
And now, broadcasting from the palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Whoa, what a Monday show we have for you. We have comedian Emmy Blotnick coming up. She is so hysterical. We've also got the most famous like dish from every single state. And I think you're going to be shocked by which states lay claim to which of these foods. And we got morons in the news and all sorts of good stuff.
And before we do anything else, I have something for you to listen to.
Hey, this is Laura from Capital District, New York. I was just catching up on so many chickens, and the self-deprecation today just made me sad. You all talk so highly of one another. Can you please just be kinder to yourself? I love the show, and I'm going to continue to listen, but please be nicer to yourself. And take pride in what you do, because you mean a lot to all of us. Have a great day. Thanks.
Oh, my gosh, Laura. That is the nicest thing. You know what? Maybe we should take the pledge and try to kick this week off on a positive note and not be so hateful to ourselves. We are our own worst enemies. Like Lamar, can you take that pledge? Can you commit to be more kind to yourself?
Yes. Yes, I can. I'm going to stop being so Southern. I'm going to learn to pronounce words correctly. I will start pronouncing the state of Illinois, even though it plainly has an S on the end. I'm not the one that put the S there. I mean, who goes, the S is silent? Well, then don't put it on there. But it's Illinois from now on. So I'm going to do better. I know I've got this mush mouth thing, but I am good enough. I know I am good enough. You're good enough.
How about you, Doc? Can you take the pledge and say kind things about yourself to yourself?
You know, word on the street is that I'm kind of dull. You know, I'm boring, not really funny. You know, I'll also throw in probably a little ugly, too. So I just got to figure out how,
no, you're not.
How I can improve on these things. There's got to be a book somewhere I can find.
You're good enough, Doc. You're good enough. Just keep saying it. You're good enough.
Max, how about you? Can you take the pledge?
Yes. I'll be less of a stumble bum, oafish dolt.
Why don't you start trying to quit being so perfect? It's sick when you're so perfect.
Oh, my God.
He's the best man I know. He's the best man
so
I know.
Nice. Well, we need to know so more nice. People.
I'm really not. I'm really not.
Bob, this is going to be hard for you. Can you be kinder? Yeah. Can Bob be kinder to Bob?
There are so many things I do right. So give me a moment here.
Okay. I know.
Okay. All right. No, I got it. I am going to stop explaining, not really explaining. I'm going to stop when I get something nice that's considered bougie. I'm going to stop referring to my early years where I was, an exterminator picking up dead rats on a pig farm, because that was a long time ago. And if I get something nice, then, you know, maybe I worked for it. Maybe I deserved it. I deserve it. I'm going to stop always equating my poor past to anything that I get that would be considered bougie. Oh, by the way, I got those Hoka boots that I'm going to use for gardening. And they are so great. They come in this honey color. That's the color that I ordered. And they go up over my ankles so mosquitoes don't bite me. And I'm going to be wearing them out in the garden later on today that I'm creating there.
Mm. Sherry?
Well, I'm going to do my best to not be such a pumpkin-headed, bug-eyed freaking weirdo who's mean and bossy. Okay, I'm gonna do my best. Now, I can't alter the pumpkin head or the bug eyes. That is what the Lord gave me to work with. But I could make an effort to be less of an unsettling weirdo. I could make an effort to talk to people about like the weather, you know, and what they're watching on TV, as opposed to the collapse of civilization. Because I'm beginning to detect that when I want to talk to people about civilization collapsing, they become nervous. So that is, I am taking the pledge. Today, I am committed to asking everyone, how about this weather? Am I right? We got morons in the news coming up. This is Bob and Sherry.
We know she's more than a mother.
Come give your mama a kiss.
Bob and Sherry want to celebrate your mom or the mother figure in your life. Just send us a brief description with a picture of you and your mom. Hit the contest tab at bobandsherry.com, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to get a Mother of Pearl necklace from Landon Lacey Jewelry. LandonLacey.com. A custom-made Mother's Day pillow from Check Feather and Down. A limited edition Mother of All Mothers huge latte mug. A limited edition Mother of All Mothers one size fits most nightshirt.
Hello, Mother.
We know she's more than a mother. Enter now at bobandsherry.com.
Don't forget to tell your mom you love her.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I know that Airbnb is in a lot of trouble right now, and they should be, because some of these fees and hidden cameras are just obscene. Like, by the time, you know, you look at an Airbnb and it's like $81 a night, and then they tack on all these fees, and now it's $481 a night. You might as well be at the Four Seasons, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Their new advertising campaign, they're all over TV and social media. It speaks right to my shriveled Gen X heart. When they talk about, you want to go on vacation, but you don't want to share your kids' bedtime. You're on a trip with your friends. Why are you in four separate hotel rooms instead of together? Like, that's the beauty of Airbnb for me. But they need to do, I don't know, man, they need help, because the advertising campaign for Airbnb is one thing, but the reality of Airbnb is like punching them in the face every waking minute. Am I right, Lamar?
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing about Airbnb. I don't guess we've ever done it. I don't think I've ever done it. And I look at Airbnb like I used to look at Uber, I think, because what could happen? What could happen? What could happen? Well, I ran across this story. This lady's name is Laura Schilling. She took her mom, her teenage daughter, and three other friends. They went on a trip to an Airbnb in Lexington, Kentucky. When they pulled up to the Airbnb, it was a little late at night, and the front door was wide open. She said, well, it's very uncomfortable walking up to a home with the front door wide open. But she went in herself. She thoroughly checked all the doors, the closets, under the beds, and she went ahead and let everybody in. And the three girls came in, and they all made sure that their windows were closed and locked. So they went to dinner. They got back at 11:30, and one of the girls noticed the window was unlocked and cracked open. So they checked and found the windows in all the bedrooms and the kitchen had been also unlocked and cracked open. And so she looked Whoa. At she went back to the original first open window that was discovered, and the screen had been removed. And she saw a car with tinted windows across the street immediately start up and take off. So she called 911. So a deputy came out to the property, and he looked around, and he insisted that they leave. He said he was concerned that they were in danger, and he was afraid the people in the car might be back. And the deputy helped them find a hotel and everything. And she said the deputy felt really strongly that we had been set up for someone to take the girls that night after we had gone to bed. And she said things could have been really different if, the next morning we could have woke up. And she said, I don't even want to think about what it would have been like. And so she said, I told the girls that they should always trust their instincts when they feel something's wrong. And if they had not noticed a cracked window, who knows? And so, you know, she contacted the host and told them, and a spokesman for Airbnb said, look, we take these kind of reports very seriously, and we have a team that's has been in contact with the guest, and we're doing a full refund. And she said, but we have, in the rare event something like this happens, we're a 24-hour safety line that's available for guests and stuff like that. I mean, Airbnb can only control so much. They can only so much.
That's
so
true.
You have to be careful. I used to think that anybody that got in an Uber was going to be murdered, but evidently that's not the case.
But there was just a story in the news like last week about a woman who called for an Uber, and when the driver pulled up, wouldn't make eye contact with her. She was like, are you Anthony or whatever? And then she looked and she realized that this was not the Uber. Because Uber tells you the driver, the license plate, yes. The car.
Yeah, exactly.
Then, Then she double checked. She looked at the app and realized that this guy, if she had gotten in that car, that might have been the last car ride she ever took. So you do have to be, look, it's, you're staying in somebody's house, right? Yes. So you are kind of at their mercy. You're riding in somebody's car. It's not Uber or Airbnb's fault. I mean, it's just human nature that we can't seem to have nice things without wanting to peep under each other's skirts and commit all sorts of mayhem.
Yeah.
It's depressing, you know?
Wasn't there a period where Airbnb or VRBO were going through complaints that people were finding cameras,
in
the bathroom or, you know, throughout the house that were hooked up to somebody just watching you?
Hey, if you've got a camera in the bathroom with me when I step out of the shower, good luck selling that, buddy. Good luck.
See, hey, Lamar.
You can get anything out of that.
Okay? Lamar, there is a pervert for everything. And there is some dude out there who's like, you know, that People's Movie critic, man, I'd pay good money to see him butt naked. There is somebody out there.
I want to meet that fool.
Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's do it.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With Morons in the News.
Well, a Florida couple was just arrested. Kira Ender and Dakota Jones came up with a plan to get rich. They allegedly took two $50 lottery tickets and, quote, crudely put them together, unquote. I'm quoting from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And they tried to cash the Franken ticket as a $1 million winner. Hmm. The description was exactly right. The words on the back of the ticket did not match up, and the ticket had different serial numbers on each side. Neither of the original tickets was a winner of any money, as you might expect, and they got nothing for their fake homemade ticket except jail time. They are in jail, and the county sheriff said, and I quote, "If you're going to try to claim $1 million, you got to do a lot better than this. You know, you're not a lottery winner. You're a criminal," unquote. So there you go. You really have a friend.
I blame Dakota Jones' parents, because that name, Dakota Jones, it just screams treasure hunter. Okay, it does.
You know, it's true.
But instead of hacking through the Amazon jungle or exploring burial caves, Dakota winds up cutting, pasting, and taping old lottery tickets. Should have named him Bill. If you'd have named him Bill, wouldn't have happened. Dakota.
Yeah, you're too much. You're exactly right. And if you're going to try that, why not just take the ticket and run it by one of your friends who's not stoned? You know, just how's this look? You know what I mean? How's this look? Lamar?
But well, let's move up.
You have to hand it to them, though. They were trying to be clever, at least. We don't get a lot of that in Morons in the News, right?
That's true. Let's move up to our northern neighbor in Calgary, Canada. An ambulance call to assist a woman in distress struck both the woman in question and the police officer that was helping her early in the morning, according to Edmonton police. Officers came across a woman in medical distress in a parking lot about 2 a.m. They provided first aid and they called EMS to assist. When the ambulance arrived, police said it ran over the 25-year-old woman and the officer while driving around the police patrol vehicle. Both the woman and the officer were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries by another ambulance, and I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to get in that one. The EPS major collision investigation is being done. You know, maybe after medical training, they should give them a driving test. It's very possible they have to be able to drive to get there.
Yeah, that's right.
And finally, this guy had a really good, like, old-fashioned Hollywood movie sort of plan. And the police in Lady Lake, Florida, need your help finding him. He was wearing a gray hoodie with the word heavenly on the back of it. So he's got some confidence in himself, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. He went into a strip mall, and there was a party store that had gone out of business next to a Best Buy. So he broke into the party store, which, of course, was dark, and nobody was there. And he went and took a sledgehammer and began slamming the wall, thinking he could tunnel into Best Buy and I guess steal iPhones and computers or whatever.
Televisions.
This is exactly the sort of thing that works great in movies and TV shows and cartoons. Mm-hmm. The problem is, in reality, it's not always as simple as there's a wall between Party City and a rack of iPhones. He hammered and hammered and hammered away with that sledgehammer. He was never able to get into the Best Buy. He got tired and gave up and sneaked back out of the Party Store. And of course, they have all of this on video.
Yeah,
that's the thing he wasn't thinking about, Mr. Heavenly. And so now the police in Lady Lake are asking, does anybody know like a dude who can swing a sledgehammer with a Heavenly hoodie who had a failed attempt at the Best Buy? We're going to get him. That is Morons in the News. We're going to post up our Florida couple faking their lottery ticket on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. We have comedian Emmy Blotnick. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
You know, we all make fun of people who post online because so much of what's on the internet is just a bunch of baloney. But every once in a while, a little nugget will slip through. And I saw somebody who posted just this. Many movie plots are obsolete due to cell phones. Think about that. I'm not talking about the way they look. I'm not talking about that big white brick that Jerry Seinfeld used to have in Seinfeld. Let's say it's the teenage slasher movie and the four teenagers are out, you know, and they're always in the middle of nowhere. They're in a cabin for the weekend and the scary guy is out there and they run. They run into the woods. If you've got a cell phone, all you got to do is call 911. They can trace exactly where you are in the woods. If you have an Apple Watch and you want help to come to you, just fall down. It'll come to you. The ambulance will come to you. So those concepts of I'm alone and I can't get any help, that whole concept really, when you think about it today, is null and void.
And they try to cover it by saying, oh, we're no cell phone service. Okay, and I agree. There are some places. But it's very hard now not to be able to find some sort of signal. I mean,
exactly. The idea of calling, you know, your house because you want your brother to come and help you. Get the gun, Kenny, and come. If he's not there, just go down the list. You know, call your cousin. Call the police. There's a million contacts you can call. It doesn't work anymore.
You know what? You know what else jacked up movie plots? 9/11. The airport scene was such a thing in movies.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Now you can't have it. You can't be, you know, meeting anybody at the gate.
You can't run through security.
Right. Yeah. That's
so
exactly right.
Many things.
That'd be interesting to watch how they handle that. This is Bob and Sherry.
Small Plates is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
It is time now for Bob and Sherry's Small Plates. Today we have only two plates. But they're good sized plates. They're very large plates. So I think you're going to enjoy it. When I was a kid, if I went over to somebody's house, you know, like I'm maybe 10 or 11 years old, they had house rules. And I can remember my friend Tal told me before we went into his house not to sit in his father's chair. It was like an Archie Bunker thing. His father had this leather chair and nobody else was allowed to sit in it. So don't sit in it. Now, at our house, we had a house rule, and the house rule was laid down by my father, and that rule was, don't ever invite anyone over to our house. And I'm not kidding. So
That covered a lot.
It did. It was very simple. So what are the top modern house rules that people are being asked to observe these days? A study was done by people who, sociologists who do this sort of thing, and here they are. Number one, turn off lights whenever you leave home. Number two, always recycle plastic, cardboard, and glass. Number three, do not waste food. Number four, house rule, take your shoes off at the door. Number five, always try to be energy efficient. Number 6, don't leave wet towels lying on the floor. Number 7, house rule today, modern house rule, no screens at the dinner table. Number 8, do not put empty cartons back into the refrigerator. Number 9, wipe up after making food. And number 10, if you're leaving the house for a few days, turn electrical items off at the plunk. How many are you guys observing out of these, do you think?
Well, I observe all of the house rules that I create. And that is who observes the house rules that I create.
I'm looking at this. And turning off of lights whenever you leave home, the person I live with does not. Recycling is all done by me. I hate to say we both waste too much food. We're trying to take our shoes off at the door. I try to be energy efficient. Honest to God, I love my wife so much. But the other day I walked in, there were two TVs that were on, and she was in a different room. And it drives me out of my mind.
Finn was watching. She left them on for
hours.
Is that what it was? That's what Kev tells me.
I didn't realize.
I leave the TV on for the dog every time. I never turn the TV off for the dog. Dog always has TV.
Yeah. All right. No screens at the dinner table. You know, I don't do it, but once in a while I'll watch something on TV if she's gotten into one of her shows. Putting empty cartons back in the refrigerator is ridiculous. Wiping up after making food, what do you want, ants? And turning off electrical items at the plug if we're going away for a few days. So I'm good for about 70% of those, maybe 80%.
Now that it's just me and Kevin here most of the time, we almost always were like, all right, we're gonna finish this show that we're binging, or we're gonna watch this movie. And we'll haul dinner over to the couch and snuggle up and eat dinner and watch whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not sorry. Like, I am not living like I'm in some freaking Victorian novel. No.
You know what I was thinking of getting? I was thinking of getting, since our last has gone to college, those 1950s style TV trays. Do they still make those things anymore?
You get them on Wayfair. Yeah.
Really?
They would. Yeah, I've got them.
Yeah, I was thinking of getting
They're fancier than they used to be.
Yeah. Here is the second big plate for today. A poll of young people aged 16 to 29 are telling us if you use these emojis, you are over the hill. So hang on to something. 16 to 29-year-olds who are so judgy. Don't you think they're so judgy, especially the teenagers? Here are the top 10 emojis that make you look old. Thumbs up. I use it. All the time.
I do.
Red love heart. I use it all the time.
Yes.
The okay hand. I use it once in a while. The poo one. I don't use that. I just don't use that. The loudly crying face. I do not use that. Monkey eye cover. I don't even know what that is. What is the monkey
eye? See no evil.
See no evil.
Little monkey cover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. I don't use that. Clapping hands. Not so much.
I don't do that.
Lipstick kiss mark. Oh, of course. I use that just constantly. And finally, grimacing face. Those are the. If you're using those, your teenagers think you're over the hill.
I don't use most of those, but if my girls were ever to say, oh my God, Mom, your emojis make you look old. Yeah, so does my money. Which one do you want to give up first? Like,
that's exactly.
Absolutely. I'm not taking any disrespect from those two dependents. It's exactly Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Hey, if you're a teacher or you know a teacher that deserves a vacation, get on over to bobandsherry.com and enter our Trip for Teachers contest. This summer, we're sending teachers to Fort Myers Beach, Florida to stay at Margaritaville Beach Resort from Visit Florida. So I read something that I can't stop thinking about. It's so like low key, but I can't stop thinking about it. And here it is. Reaching out to a friend that you've lost contact with is apparently as scary for people as making a new friend with a complete stranger. What do you think about that? And that a lot of people, in fact, the majority of us, would love to rekindle a past friendship, but we're afraid of seeming awkward or weird, and we're afraid of getting rejected. And the sad thing about that is, apparently, reviving old friendships is like critically valuable to your happiness. Like, it really brings joy into people's life. And if you think about it, like, I'm thinking about Facebook posts I've seen where people go, I reconnected with my high school best friend and it was like no mm-hmm. time had passed and I'm so happy I did. You know, you see those kinds of things, but mm-hmm. we're as afraid to make that approach, to make that first move, as we are with a stranger. Super interesting.
I started doing that about 10 years ago, and I'm so glad that I did it. I had gone years and years without seeing my teenage and sometimes middle school friends in North Haven, Connecticut, and they've scattered too. There's one in Vermont. There's one overseas. I am so glad that I did that. And I was the one, I know this is surprising to you, with all these guys, I was kind of the one that initiated it. And
I'm shocked.
I know. But I felt comfortable because I knew who they were and they knew who I am. And so it made it a little bit easier. If I hadn't done that, I would be missing out on 4 to 5 relationships, which were very important to me as a teenager, especially. And it has given me some comfort when there have been like people who I've met recently, and then we didn't really connect, and so the relationship went nowhere. Or even in hard times, rough things happening, I could call them up. I encourage people to do that. I think it's an important thing.
90% of us, according to this, have lost touch with a friend that we really miss, but only 70% of us are willing to make the reach out. So you are really in a minority with that. You should feel good about yourself.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And listen to this. Of that group, so 90% of us have lost touch. 70% of us are reluctant to make the effort. Only a third of us bothered to like draft a text or an email, but then we never sent it. So the fears are that this old friend doesn't want to hear from you, or that it would be too awkward, or maybe you feel guilty because you blame yourself for the relationship kind of not falling apart, but sort of drifting away, maybe. And this is, so listen to this. This is super cool. It takes more than 200 hours of contact to turn an acquaintance into a close friend.
I believe
that.
Think
about that. And it's not necessarily, not necessarily face-to-face contact, but 200 hours of talking on the phone or texting or hanging out or whatever to turn that acquaintance into a close friend. But then it turns out we all have these relationships, at least one friendship that we've let go of where that connection already exists. And if you believe what people say, it would be so easy to rekindle it. So you've done it, Bob. And I think Max has done it.
I have two experiences that I'll give people right now. Now, when you go to rekindle old relationships, in my case, I think I got 5 out of 6 that, as a matter of fact, I'm going to see some of these guys next month. We're going to get together. One of my friends I rekindled with, his older brother passed away, and I'm going to the service. I didn't know the brother well, but I'm going to go to the service to support him. Most of them, it turned out great. One of them, it not so great, because I was with him and another old friend, and the older old friend said, you know, Bobby does this radio show, a terrific radio show, and he and his partner have been nominated as the radio show of the year. And the guy that was sitting with us, the old friend, said, well, I guess, you know, like even plumbers would have some sort of, you know, celebrations for their work. Listen, I respect plumbers, but that was a cut. And I thought to myself, why did you say that? Why did you denigrate what I do? That's my job.
You know, people sometimes think they're being funny and they don't necessarily mean to be unkind. But that sounded like sad. You know what? See, here's why you don't want to say stuff like that to people, because it makes you look petty and jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
I'm a firm believer in you should do as much as possible to conceal your own petty jealousy from being discovered. Yes.
But let me leave this on an up note. I know we have to break, but let me. One of my other friends, Paul, I said, I'll meet you at Pepe's Pizza. And all of a sudden we were face to face. He said, I saw you walking down the street and I could tell it was you, even though I couldn't see your face by your walk. That's somebody who knows who you are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Emmy Blotnick.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It is so nice to be here with people. Wow. I have been feeling really rusty at talking to people. I think we all have to be really nice to each other right now and cut each other slack if your conversations go weird, because it's going to happen, you know? The other day, I saw a woman outside my coffee shop who had a hairless cat zipped up into her jacket. And she was just kind of staring down the coffee line like, who's going to ask me about my hairless cat? She didn't say that, but that was the energy, you know? And I didn't want to do it. But the woman behind me did. She went for it. She went for the chit chat, and she was so warm and friendly and like Midwestern, like the exact person New York normally destroys. And she went in so friendly. I knew what she meant to say. It just came out slightly off. She said, oh, wow, is that a skinless cat? And then the lady with the cat said, he has skin. And I wanted to be like, just let her have this. You know what she meant. She knows your cat has skin because the whole cat is skin. It's an all-skin cat. It's a very skin-forward animal, you know? And maybe she said skin because she was looking at a lot of it. How dare you make her feel like the weird one here? How did you even do that? Because she wasn't being weird. She wasn't like, is your cat only bones? You know, she was just trying to chat. I think the right answer to that is something like, actually, it's a hairless cat, but thanks so much for talking to me. I'm utterly companionless. I got a dog recently. He's the best. Dogs are antidepressants, for real. Like, if you have depression, a dog will help you so much. And if you have anxiety, a dog won't help you at all. There's so much to worry about. They don't come with instruction manuals. I just Google dog questions in a panic all day. I'm like standing outside Walgreens Googling, can dogs go inside Walgreens? No? Okay. Can dogs eat French onion soup? No? Okay. We were in an elevator together and I was like, does he get what's happening right now? We're moving. Does he get it? And so I Googled, do dogs understand elevators? And the answer is functionally, but not mechanically. And that makes sense, right? Like, they know that they're going somewhere, but they can't build you one. Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you. Oh, I'm thinking about buying Twitter. No, one thing at a time. I got my dog groomed for the first time. I called a mobile dog grooming van because I saw it in one episode of Queer Eye. And it's a great business. They roll up to your house in a van, and a guy takes your dog into the van, and he disappears for about 2.5 hours. And they do everything. They cut his hair. They trimmed his nails. They got in his ears. They gave him a dental cleaning. They went up his butt. He came out looking so good, like the best he's ever looked in his life. And then I got the bill, and it was $250, which is more than my haircut, and you can tell. But I was like, what happened in there? Why was this so expensive? And I'm like, nah, you know what? This makes sense. A guy had to chain my dog by the neck to a sink in a van and fight him for 2.5 hours. He deserves his money. And why aren't people getting groomed this way? Once you know that it can all be done in a van, you're like, why am I going to a hairdresser in one place and a dentist in another? Wouldn't it be amazing if a van just rolled up to your house, a guy you've never met puts a bag over your head, and he drags you out to the van, and he handcuffs himself to you and you to the van, and then he does everything, right? He cuts your hair, trims your nails, he gives you a dental cleaning and a colonoscopy and a COVID booster shot and a little turkey sausage, and he tells you you're a very good boy, and you come out looking the best you've ever looked in your life. I mean, who's ready to start vrooming with human grooming?
That is comedian Evan Blotnick. Let's get that posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab, look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. This is Bob and Sherry.
At the Bob and Sherry Show, we know there are all kinds of different cats. And we would like to see yours. Every day is Catterday. Just submit a pic of your cat at the Catterday dropdown at bobandsherry.com, and you could be one of our weekly winners who get a copy of their photo and a keepsake sleeve, along with a free hide and scratch scratcher box. Hide and Scratch combines two things cats love, scratching and boxes. Hide and Scratch keeps the mess of cardboard scratchers in the box and provides a great place for your cats to snuggle up. Check out hideandscratch.com. We want to see every kind of cat. Yeah, including that one.
Good kitty.
From Hide and Scratch and Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
Robert Taylor from Arizona won $229,000 from a Las Vegas casino, but he walked away completely unaware that he had just become very rich. He was at the Treasure Island Casino, and after playing his luck for a while, Taylor decided enough was enough, and he walked away from the machine. But due to a communications error, Taylor was not informed that he had bagged the $229,368.52 jackpot, and he left without his winnings, and he headed back to Arizona. Well, Treasure Island Hotel and Casino said they could not identify Taylor before he left Las Vegas to go home, and that meant Taylor didn't get his winnings. Now, that could have been it, but authorities didn't stop their search, as the Board of Enforcement Division spent countless hours over 2 weeks to try and identify him so he could be given his winnings. Luckily for Taylor, he was eventually identified and located after officers went through several hours of surveillance footage across multiple casino slots. They studied electronic purchase records. They interviewed numerous witnesses. And the authority added that Taylor was informed of his newfound riches, which he collected. They went to him. He said, I'd also like to thank the Nevada Transportation Authority for their assistance in confirming the identity of the patron. This has been a great example of government working together for the benefit of the public, which is normally not what the government is actually doing. Okay, let's just be real honest. But that was a great phone call to get. Can you imagine? You left the casino, you think you've put a bunch of money in it, and it's time to go home. 2 weeks later, they call you and they say, hey, we got $229,000 for you. What?
I was impressed by the casino that they did this, you know, that they went to all this effort. I love it.
The government was helping because they knew they'd get the tax money on it.
Yep, that's exactly right. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Well, it's talkback time, and that's where we give you a chance to tell us what you've got going on in your life, or maybe you just want to comment on something you've heard. All you have to do is go to our Bob and Sherry app that can be found on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you get your apps. Click on the small microphone at the bottom of the screen and just start talking. Now, if you want to go old school, you can dial 844-52-SHERRY and just leave a message. We can't wait to hear from you.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. I was listening to your radio show where you were talking about White Russians, and I wanted to throw out another drink that is a White Russian with vodka, Kahlua, and cream. But if you throw a little bit of Coca-Cola on top of that, now you have a Colorado Bulldog, and they're actually pretty tasty. The Coca-Cola helps you keep it all down, so to speak. I'm from Denver, Colorado, and that was my go-to drink for a long time. I drank White Russian simply because of the movie, The Big Lebowski. So if you hang out with me, you get to see somebody ordering one in a bar. But the Colorado Bulldog is actually much better. So just wanted to put that out there. I love you guys. Love the show. Thanks.
That's what drinking's all about, just keeping it down.
Keeping it down, yeah, but that does sound kind of delicious. Tell me that didn't sound kind of tasty.
No, thanks. No, that was horrifying.
Now listen, I've heard y'all besmirch the reputation of the White Russian. I do enjoy a White Russian every
I'm surprised.
Once in a while.
I am surprised at that.
What's in a White Russian again?
Vodka. And cream and Kahlua.
Right.
Isn't there one other kind? Is there? Yeah, the vodka and the Kahlua are the two alcohols.
Yeah, that's the two alcohols and cream.
Wasn't it also made with just milk and not cream? Or I don't order them, but
you can. But the heavy cream is what really gives it the kick. Now, for me, putting the Coca-Cola in there would make it come up, not stay down.
Yeah, I would think.
There's a lot going on. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try. And I will report back on this at a later date. I will try.
It sounds good to me. Now, sometimes, though, Lamar, when you just casually mention something that you eat or drink, all I can think to myself is, why even bother? It's all genetics. This is a man who straps a pound of bacon to his face every day. Who's drinking a cocktail with, not milk, Bob, but heavy cream because it's just better that way. I mean, you are a man who just is like, just live your life and have some joy because, you know, when your number's up, it's up. I mean, you are just the embodiment of that.
That's right. All right. I don't overdo it, but one of them's good.
All right, we've got another one.
Hi, Bob, yeah. Sherry, Lamar, Max, and Doc. This is Elizabeth from Winston-Salem. And I noticed that we've got, you know, some people calling in and busting on Bob for calling out Sherry for supposed mansplaining. But what's really concerning to me is that it doesn't seem like anyone's calling in to talk about the fact that Bob likes to eat peanut butter out of the jar and put double dip in the peanut butter jar. Now, I live with 2 children who are under the age of 6. There are a lot of things that are not safe in my household because I live with those people. You take a sip out of a water, who knows? You might get some water, you might get a biscuit at the bottom of that glass. You just don't really know. However, the one safe place that I know is the peanut butter jar. And it's really concerning to me that others are not as concerned about Bob's peanut butter jar habits as I and apparently Mary are. So, didn't know if anyone else was having those concerns. I really was. I do appreciate the explaining about ambrosia because I didn't know what ambrosia was. I was raised by those mountain witches, and if it didn't have Jell-O in it, it wasn't really a dessert. So thank you for explaining that to me. However, peanut butter jar, double dipping in the peanut butter jar. Ugh, that's too much, Bob. All right, thank you all. Have a great day.
Oh, I'm with her. I went on the record the day you talked about that. It's so disgusting. I can't believe you think that's okay and that you defended it. It's so gross. Like, your saliva does not belong in my GIF.
It's just him and Mary.
It's just, thank you. Thank you very much, Lamar. Do you realize that the human saliva that's exchanged with kissing is as good for your teeth as brushing your teeth? So that's the way I'm looking at it. It's just the two of us. I don't do it very often.
She don't want it.
Knife.
Your wife
back
is
in.
Squeamish. She is a skivatz, as my grandmother would say. She skeeves. She doesn't want that. She doesn't want your spit and her peanut butter.
I'm helping
know
her to
fact.
Get over that. That is a disease that I'm helping her with. To just kind of loosen up a little bit.
And who better than Bob Lacey to tutor anyone in loosening up? You are correct, sir. I take it all back. I was wrong.
And my pleasure with the
Bob
ambrosia.
The next time. Yeah. I can't wait. We visit Bob the next time, and he goes, "Hey, I'm having peanut PB&Js. Y'all want one?"
Hey, yeah. Hey, you don't get to take any pleasure in the ambrosia. I explained what was in it, and you jumped to my case. That's what she was talking about. What are you saying my pleasure about the ambrosia for? Just stick to helping people loosen up. Stick to what you're good at. Stick to what you know. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
We've got a new contest at bobandsherry.com. Go to the contest page and click on More Than a Mother. Submit a photo and description of your mom or the mother figure in your life, and you could win a Mother of Pearl necklace from Landon Lacey Jewelry, a custom-made Mother's Day pillow from Check Feather and Down, a limited edition Mother of All Mothers latte mug, and Mother of All Mothers one-size-fits-all nightshirt.
Bob and Sherry, go.
Down the rabbit hole.
Okay, this is the deepest and most random of rabbit holes. But turns out Darth Vader does not love what they're doing with the Star Wars universe.
Now and then I think of when I was in power. Like joking people with the Force until they die. But then you told them all my history and took away my masculinity. Had my character portrayed by subpar actors. You are now addicted to an overuse of graphics. Shoot first, on shot first. So when you try to have the Force make sense, you introduce the midichlorians. And what's the deal with having me be dubbed over? But you didn't have to change it all. Make them like they never happened, and the fans are nothing. I don't even need your love. You treat me like a panther and I feel so rough. No, you didn't have to make them blow. Have your friends direct your movies and they'll turn out better. You think that you don't need them, no. What happened to the Star Wars that I used to know? What happened to the Star Wars that I used to know? Now and then I think of all the times I screwed fans over. I had them believing that the first three films were really done. But Star Wars will be done my way. I don't care what they have to say. I think that they should let it go, and they'll never get a Blu-ray of the Star Wars that you used to know. You didn't have to change it all. No more puppets, no more practical effects or nothing. I don't even need your love. You treat me like a whopper and I feel so cold.
Jar Jar Binks got off easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you think in that?
Yeah, totally. Don't cross a Star Wars fan.
Listen, some of what they've done in the Star Wars universe, I'm with Darth on this one. Some of it's just like, oh, God, that's you're asking a lot. We'll get that posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Do not go anywhere, because straight ahead, the five tiny signs that you're not taking good care of your mind, and it's showing. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can You Believe This is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
You got to take care of your mental health as best you can. And it is very challenging. We live in an angry, divided world, and we are bombarded every waking minute by information. Algorithms run us. Like, we're all like, oh, I hope AI doesn't become sentient. What difference does it make? Like, we're already slaves to the algorithms, and our moods and our emotions and everything is just yanked from one direction to the next. Like, you can be perfectly fine, and then you'll see something on, like, I don't know, Twitter that makes you insane with fury. We are all losing control. And here are the five tiny signs that you are doing a very bad job of taking care of your mind, and it's going to catch up to you. Here's number one. You have a victim mindset. Everything is a grievance. Everything is somebody did you dirty. Nothing is ever your fault. Now, it's very true that in life, a lot of times you are getting done dirty and it's not your fault, but you can't approach everything like a victim. And there are situations where, yeah, you are being kind of victimized. What are you going to do about that? If every single thing is, oh, poor you, that's the first bad sign. Here's the next bad sign. Your thoughts are just filled with worry and negativity and clutter. All you do is worry about the future. All you do is dwell on your past mistakes. Like, your thoughts are just a jumbled box of bad stuff, and you can't seem to clear it out. You know you need to be more present. You know you need to be more positive, but you just, you're struggling in the same way that, like, you know, when you let your house get to the point where it's, and then you go, I just can't even begin to clean this mess. It's just so, I'll never get to it, right? Mm-hmm. Your brain does that too. Here's the third sign. And this one you can really spot in yourself. Your curiosity has just disappeared. You don't, you're not curious.
Oh, that's interesting. That is really interesting.
You're not at all, like, people are saying, oh, have you heard the new Taylor Swift album? And you're like, no, I don't care. Are you watching blah, blah, blah on Netflix? Not for me. Nope. You are not interested in anything. Your curiosity is gone. Here's the fourth sign. You're aware that you're not really taking good care of yourself. You know you're not eating properly. You know that you are not sleeping well. You know that you're not washing your face. Like, there's just some stuff that you're not doing anymore. And when you start seeing that you're not taking care of the meat suit that carries your brain around in this world, that's a sign that you're not taking care of your brain and your mental health either. And the fifth tiny sign is you spend more time on TikTok than you do with books or legitimate news or information. Your whole day is scrolling and looking at short videos. Your whole entertainment is TikTok. Because of all the social platforms, and this is actually a piece of factual data. TikTok is where people go to consume, not necessarily to create. There are TikTok creators, but the overwhelming majority of people watching TikTok are just there to eat it up, just to consume it. And it's great. It's fun. But if that's it, if you can't remember the last time you had the attention span for a whole movie or even a 50-minute TV show, if you can't remember the last time you read something because everything is TikTok. And TikTok, by the way, is the only social platform that gets shouted out in this as a sign that you're not taking taking care of yourself.
Mary just bought a novel. I forget the name of it, but she doesn't read a lot of novels. And I walked in and it was in the kitchen. And I said, so, reading this book. And she said, I have to cut back on TikTok. And she's the perfect example of somebody who's on it a lot. And she gets so much pleasure out of it. I'll walk by the bedroom and she's,
giggling
in there with the dog. And she's giggling because it is like sugar. It is.
I'm glad you read all that, Sherry. I'm in perfect mental health. Perfect.
I think you are.
Perfect mental health.
I think you are. I think you are. You know, why don't you treat yourself with a little bacon for that? How about that? Maybe wash it down with a White Russian.
Sounds good.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, podcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Beauty writers, columnists that write for newspapers and magazines about beauty, have come up with the 30 most iconic beauty trends of all time. We don't have time for all of them, but I'm just going to pitch a few of them. And I'll give you number one, the most iconic beauty trend of all time, as the last one. So we're looking at pale face powder, red blushed cheeks, colorful eyeshadow. I don't like that. As a man, that's my least favorite. Oh my God, I do not like that at all. Overlined lips, that's another one I just never got. Dark lipstick, that could be kind of cool sometimes. Thin penciled eyebrows. Again, not my favorite. Thick mascara. I think mascara is really lovely on a woman, but not too thick. Gothic black eyeshadow. Just not my generation. Full thick eyebrows. I think that's very sexy. First time I met Brooke Shields in person, and boy, she's got some eyebrows. I went, she's really using those. Heavy eyeliner. Shiny lip gloss. Winged eyeliner, which I'm not really a fan of.
I sort
fake
of like
tan.
That.
You do?
I love that. I do too.
Yeah, I like the wing. Yeah, I do.
You do? Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's some of it is subtle and some of it is like, whoa, you taking off?
False, I like it either
false
way.
Eyelashes. False eyelashes are okay for me as a guy, but you know, when I'm checking out at a store and your false eyelashes are giving me like my hair is moving when you blink your eyes, no. Number two, smoky eyes. What do you think is the top iconic beauty trend of all time? I'll go to Sherry first.
Red lipstick.
Bingo!
Red
lipstick. Yeah. Number one.
I like it.
I wish I could wear it.
I wish I could wear it. I can't.
Why?
I have little teeny tiny lips, and if I put red lipstick on, I look like the backside of a baboon. Like, it just does not work for me. This little teeny, like this giant moon pumpkin head. And then a little teeny tiny red lips and a teeny tiny. No, it just doesn't work for me.
There they are, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bob and Sherry.
Win a hide and scratch cat scratching box for your cat at bobandsherry.com. Go to the contest page and look for our Catterday contest. I know we'll never get through all of these, but I read a really interesting thing about the most famous or special local food from every state in the country. And I have a feeling that between us, we've tried most of these. I think this first one, Lamar is going to have to explain. Alabama's famous white barbecue sauce over chicken.
Yeah. I thought there
is
was
that a good
more
side?
To that.
Is that a good side or a bad side?
I was so
it?
Excited about that. Yes, I did have it. And I had never seen it before. I was down there shopping and looking at, for some stuff. I was looking for some hot sauce or whatever. And there was Alabama barbecue sauce. And it was white. And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be awesome. It's okay, but it's not awesome. I don't use it. I mean, I don't use it. I bought a bottle of it and tried it, and I don't use it. Now, some people swear by it, but no.
I don't think.
And you know, I'm a mayonnaise man.
Yeah, it's mayonnaise, vinegar, salt, and pepper, basically, Bob. I don't think it doesn't seem like something that you would.
No, I would not go for that too much. No, I would not.
No.
Alaska's most famous is smoked salmon, which I think everybody's had. Arizona is chimichangas. Chimichangas were invented in Arizona, not at Chi-Chi's, as you might have thought from the lore and the legend. It was actually invented and two restaurants in Tucson created it. Arkansas's famous one is Fried Pickles. Those are delicious. I mean, who could object to a fried pickle? California gets avocado toast. Oh, you're going to object to a fried pickle?
Oh, no, not at all. I love fried pickles. Oh, okay. But I mean, I would only have them like a couple of times a year. They are not good for you. But I would have thought the fried pickles came out of somewhere like Georgia. They're not.
Arkansas.
Nobody's ever died from a fried pickle.
Is Arkansas a southern state or is Arkansas a western state? What is Arkansas?
Southern state. It's a southern state.
We don't claim it.
What?
It's a middle southern
state. Are you kidding me?
No. Once you get past Mississippi. I like to keep that in the tight. I like to keep it tight. So the South, we keep it tight. Keep it tight.
Are you planning on raising an army and seceding? You know, why would you?
Well, it didn't work out so good the first time. I'm going to be honest really with you, but I mean.
Yeah, right.
This next one is Colorado's claim to fame. But when I tell you what it is, you're going to go, wait a minute. That's not Colorado. It's called Fool's Gold. It's an entire loaf of sourdough bread stuffed with blueberry jam, peanut butter, and a whole pound of bacon.
Wow.
And the reason that you associate that with Elvis Presley is because he was in Denver one night and he saw it on the menu and he ordered it. And he liked it so much that after that, he took his private jet, the Lisa Marie, flew from Memphis to Denver, got a Fool's Gold sandwich, and flew back the same night. And he became famous for the peanut butter and bacon sandwich, but it's actually invented in Colorado.
I'm writing that down. I'm writing that down.
Connecticut, Bob, warm lobster rolls as opposed to cold lobster rolls.
Connecticut style is warm. Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't like them as much, even though I was born there. I don't like them as much as the cold ones.
I like the
cold.
I'll
eat either one. If you put one in front of me right now, it could be room temperature with Alabama white barbecue sauce on it. I'm probably going to eat it anyway. This next one really surprised me because I thought Georgia for this one. But the official state dessert of Delaware is peach pie, and peaches are a critical part of Delaware's agricultural economy. You immediately think of Georgia, as the peach state.
Yeah, or South Carolina,
South Carolina. South Carolina grows more peaches than Georgia does.
They do?
Peach state thing, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they do, yes.
Florida gets the Cuban sandwich. Georgia gets Brunswick stew. And I think I would have maybe given that one to South Carolina because I didn't know any better. Hawaii gets Kahlua pork. And then Idaho, Bob, gets something called finger steaks, deep fried pieces of beef that you serve with a sauce. Doesn't that sound like Chislic to you? Like from South Dakota?
You know, it does. I love Hawaii. I haven't been there in a long, long time, but I have been there a couple of times. Uh-oh. And I went to a luau once, and I got to tell you, people putting their fingers in stuff that I don't even know what it is, and then you're supposed to put your two fingers.
Poi.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Poi.
Yeah.
Poi, among other things.
No poi for that boy. He is not having it. Do you want to do? Let's pause. You want to do a couple more of these?
Yeah, I love things.
Bob and Sherry.
Use the Talk Back feature on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
Okay, so we're talking about which dish belongs to which state. And we've been surprised a handful of times. Poor Georgia has come into the winner's circle and been kicked out a few times now. We're at Illinois, and Max will agree with this, deep dish pizza. It was invented in Illinois. Illinois owns it and claims it.
I know Bob doesn't like it.
Keep it.
Good deep dish pizza. It's not, here's the thing. Deep dish pizza is not pizza the way you think of pizza. It's like pizza casserole. It's like this whole other situation.
I give it a pass. Like the pizza thing that Max would always get in Chicago.
The pizza pot pie.
The pizza pot pie. I give that a pass. That's a different product. But what I don't like is just a lot of dough on a pizza. Just a lot of dough, Chicago style. I just don't like it.
Pork tenderloin sandwiches, Indiana. That is your deep fried, crunchy, like a schnitzel on a bun with pickles and onions and all sorts of stuff. Iowa. Iowa, you're probably thinking, oh, it's something corn related. Deep fried catfish. Kansas. Kansas. It's a cross between a cheeseburger and a sloppy Joe, and it has the unfortunate name of loose meat. It is a loose meat sandwich.
I've heard that.
I've heard of that. Man. I've heard of that.
Tell me again. What is
meat? It's like mystery meat sandwich.
I know. It's, what is loose meat exactly?
It's kind of like a cross between, it's got the consistency of a sloppy Joe, but all of the ingredients and vibe of a cheeseburger. So imagine a cheeseburger, but in sloppy Joe format, slapped on a bun with some pickles and, you know, maybe some ketchup or whatever. Oh, you would eat a loose meat sandwich.
But what a terrible name, I got to say. How's the, waiter, how's the loose meat today? You know, just...
I think it would be such a good, I think like if Lamar doesn't have any rap names like you do, but I think Lamar could be DJ Loose Meat. I really do.
Oh yeah.
What do you think, Lamar?
I would pay to see you.
Kentucky, Kentucky has beer cheese, which was invented near Winchester, Kentucky. They even have a beer cheese festival. So it's melted cheese like fondue with some beer in it. And then you dip things in it like your whole hand. It is very, very yummy. Louisiana, who wants to take a guess what the big food of Louisiana is?
Crawfish. Crawfish.
Gumbo. Gumbo.
Gumbo,
gumbo.
Yeah.
Bob, you got to get this one. What is the proudest dish out of the state of Maine?
Well, I mean, it has to be some form of lobster. The tourists always go for the lobster rolls because they're easier.
That's it. That's it. Yep. Maryland, crab cakes, of course. Massachusetts. Yep. Bob, you want to take a shot at that one?
Massachusetts.
The pride and joy of Massachusetts.
The pride and joy of Massachusetts. Well, you can get a lot of great food there. You can get clams. You can get lobster. I'm not
clam
sure.
Clam chowder. New England
clam
style
chowder.
Clam chowder.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
Now, Michigan's claim to fame, this is how I prefer to eat one, but it has an I think the name wet burrito doesn't sound good. Wet burrito sounds like Urban Dictionary slang.
Yeah, it does.
Nothing I want to describe.
Oh, good heavens.
Waitress, how is the wet burrito today?
But man, it's a burrito that's drowning in chili sauce and melted cheese. Yum, yum, yum. Minnesota gets the corn dog. Mississippi gets the Mississippi mud pie. Montana gets a meat pie. Nebraska gets the Reuben sandwich, which was invented. I know you're thinking that's from New York. It was invented in Omaha, Nebraska in 1925. That is where the Reuben sandwich comes from. Aren't you shocked?
That the Reuben sandwich is such an unusual product. You know, you don't see it on the menu very many places. It can be not very good, but when it's right, it's really right. It's the quirky of all sandwiches.
It really is. And it's one of those things, I don't eat them. It's not my jam, but people who love them are so specific about this is a great Reuben. This is an inedible Reuben.
And
then there's some more like New Mexico, the green chili cheeseburger. Nevada gets the shrimp cocktail. New York gets pizza. North Carolina gets Krispy Kreme donuts. We'll post a link up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook, and you can see if you agree or disagree. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
This guy, when he was 12 years old, taped himself asking questions of his adult self. 20 years later, he went on and he taped himself listening to his 12-year-old self interview him at the age of 32.
Hi, Jeremiah.
Hello, Jeremiah.
You look different.
No s***.
Yes, I'm 12 years old. How old are you?
32.
Ah.
Yeah.
You look older.
Well, thank you.
Older than 32, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, even better. Good.
Goes to show how much things have changed, yes.
It does.
Now I do my hair, now
right.
Voice.
Okay.
Getting older, man. Getting older. Get down. Get, oh yeah. Well, me, of the future.
Oh, is there more of this? I'm sorry.
So, how are things, you know?
Okay. This is very unusual.
Yes, definitely. Quite cool, you know? Here I am on the screen, and here you are. You're right there.
Over here, yeah.
Yes.
Is there anything in particular you wanted to know about?
As far as I can see, is Molly still alive?
Is Molly still alive? No. Dogs don't live that long.
Ah. And what about Leon?
Are all your questions going to be about pets?
Yes.
Well, then the answer is they're all dead. Why don't I ask you some questions?
You want to ask me questions? You know about... You already know.
Well, yeah, but life before the internet's kind of a blur to me.
What? Think if I catch that?
The internet. It's a thing that you'll know what it is in a few years. It's going to completely take over your life. You're going to spend many hours sitting in a room staring at a screen.
I'm knowing about my own future. That's cool.
Well, I'm glad that pleases you. So, what do you do exactly?
You know what I like? You're me.
Yeah, but you must have hobbies of some
kind. You're interviewing yourself. Look at you. You're...
You left the tape. It don't do the... I'm not...
excuse me.
Oh, charming. No wonder I'm single.
I am you.
Exactly.
What are you blaming me for?
Because I'm the result of every decision you make.
Well,
well, fine.
Well,
yeah, see, I don't know how I'm supposed to react to that. Okay,
ooh,
so look.
I see a Star Wars figure down
never
there.
Never mind that for now. What were
can
you...
I have it?
Dude, you have that one already. It's literally the same one.
Oh, yes. Here it is. I got it right here.
Yeah, Molly chewed mine, so be more careful with it.
Sorry.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to yourself in 20 years. I'm sorry, Jeremiah. See, I just did it for us.
Very clever, Jeremiah. I'm glad I thought of it.
That's the spirit.
Still like Doctor Who.
So he looks over at a bunch of Doctor Who stuff he has on the desk.
No. I need to go.
Okay, well.
Just one thing before I go. Don't blink. Blink and you're dead.
What do you mean? What?
No, I'm kidding. It's not. That's going to be hilarious in 15 years. I just turned this off, right?
So there it is. I thought it was really clever. His timing was fantastic.
And to watch the video that we've posted, he has great reactions to the child.
He does.
It's so interesting hearing his little boy voice.
I've never heard that done
voice.
Before. I've never heard it done. Go to bobandsherry.com if you want to see it.
Sometimes when my children are talking, I'm listening to them and I'm thinking, oh man, what are you going to sound? You're not going to sound like this for much longer. You're going to get a grown-up voice soon.
That's right.
Wow.
I think it would be interesting to open the phones up this morning and ask our listeners, if you were 12 years old, what would you ask your grown-up 32-year-old self? What would you be interested in knowing, and what is your answer? How did it turn out? What would you ask at 12, and how did it turn out?
What would you ask yourself?
My
12-year-old
self?
Yeah.
Would I be rich, and would I live in a really cool place?
But what if the answer was no and no? That would be so depressing.
Well, I mean, rich, there's a scale in everybody's head, it's different for everybody else. I think I live in a pretty cool place, and I've done well.
I don't
but
know.
That's what I would want to know. But in my 12-year-old mind, I would be thinking millions and Malibu, California.
Of course, yeah.
It was... See, when I was 12, I thought I was going to become a Roman Catholic priest. So the idea of fame and fortune wasn't in my mind at that point.
Well, make me feel good.
That has nothing to do with you.
Make me feel like
that has nothing
Mr.
to do. Why does that have anything to do with you? It has nothing to do with you.
My 12-year-old self would be pretty disappointed in some of my choices.
I think your 12-year-old self. I'm surprised that you would say that. You've published 2 books. You do a nationally syndicated radio show. You have 2 beautiful children.
My 12-year-old self, you think I'm hard on myself now? I got here because my 12-year-old self was a monster of absolute ruthless, like self-disciplined, punishing drive. And my 12-year-old self would be like, oh, no, you didn't.
The woman who wrote 50 Shades of Grey is this week shopping for a $4.5 million house.
Yeah.
And that's garbage. All you had to do, instead of trying to be interesting and funny and clever and have a great story to tell, is just create some sexual blather.
Bob peeled off his pink polo shirt, and I drank in the sight of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gently moved over and licked the yellowtail Chardonnay off of his upper lip. And I said, Bob, I overspent at Lily Pulitzer today.
You see?
Will you spank me with your Webb lobster belt from...
There it is. There it is.
L.L. Bean.
Millions. Millions.
And then I felt the gathering storm inside me that pushed me over the cliff into ecstasy. Bob, I said, could you stop looking in the mirror? And just one time look at me.
So folks,
the hell was I
this morning? That's what I was telling you. It was so easy. You let it go by.
All right, my next book is Spank Me, Lobster Man.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
In Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Kyle Good, he is 34 years old. He was arrested by the police because they got a tip about his whereabouts. Good was charged with 2 counts of burglary and 13 related charges for a series of theft from the minor league baseball stadium. Good, who is a Stormers employee at the time, trespassed into the stadium, and he stole items multiple times. He took a digital projector, an Alexa smart speaker, team manager Ross People's Bluetooth speaker, and $200 from the team's swear jar, according to documents. He was also accused of taking the company credit card of the team, CFO, the chief financial officer. Police said he tried to use that card to send money over Cash App, order Uber rides, and pay for a cab he took to the stadium. All the charges were declined except for the $25 cab charge, according to the documents. In all, Good is accused of stealing more than $750 from the minor league team. Police saw security camera footage of him taking every one of these items. Police charged Good, and he was arrested Wednesday after they found him in Lancaster and got him extradited. I guess it's safe to say that Good will never be a major league thief. I guess he will always be a minor league thief. I mean,
for sure.
Once again, you're working for these people. You know where everything's at, but they also know you. And you've got to know that there's video. So you're stealing the most random items, but then $200 from the team swear jar. Now,
that's too much.
You know, listen, we need to have a swear jar with Bob and Sherry because I think that the swear jar, we'll be having $200 a day.
Oh, yeah. Just for me. Yeah.
We could have a huge company party that we fly to at the end of the year just from Sherry.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.